Amen. We want to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, from verse 21 to 28. Want to speak about persistent faith. Because as we walk in the journey of salvation, journey of life, God wants us to have unwavering faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And whatsoever you believe God by faith, it's going to come to pass. And everything that you believe God for, you've got to believe it by faith. So faith determines so much in our day-to-day life, in our Christian life. The Bible says in verse 21, I will read, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed. But he answered not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Verse 24 says, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very moment. The Bible is saying that Jesus went into the region of Sidon and Tyre. And there was this woman that lived in that area. And the Bible says that everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good. But in this region, there was this woman who had a problem. And her problem was the child that she had, because she was demon possessed. And in that region, the women and the children were not counted, because in that region, they were Gentiles. So when Jesus came to that area, it was impossible for her to bring her case to Jesus because of the situation that surrounded her, because of the law of the land. But the Bible says that in her, she decided. We began by saying, it is by faith. What do you believe? It is by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So whatever we go before God for, whatever we pray to God, whatever prayer we bring to Him, whatever situation we bring to God, we must bring to Him by faith, because it is according to your faith that he will give you. So this woman came to Jesus. She decided first in her heart. She said, even though it is not allowed, and she didn't shout, she didn't tell everybody, she decided in her heart. You know, there are some things that you decide in your heart, and you don't want to share it with everybody. They might tell you, people don't pass that way. In this land, we are not allowed to go to Jesus as women. And you are not even counted, so why should you bother? So she decided in her heart. Though she was an outcast and she knew, she said, I will go and I will take my case to Jesus. She was not even supposed to go close. But she decided in her heart and she said, I will go. As the disciples were being sent by Jesus to go to other towns, in Matthew 10:5, Jesus restricted the disciples. And he told them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Don't pass where they are. Do not enter into their city because they are outcasts. Go rather to the lost sheep. That is Matthew 10:5, going down. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go to the children of Israel, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to the Israelites, not to the Gentiles. Heal their sick, the sick of the Israelites, of the chosen people. Cleanse their lepers. Raise their dead. But they were told, don't go to the Gentiles, because they were outcasts. And this woman knew, I am not permitted. But she decided in her heart. You know, there are some things that we say, no, even though it is like this, but I will take my case to Jesus. So she decided and she took her case to Jesus. You know, one thing that I love about this woman, it was against the law, but she said, I will go. There were restrictions, but she said in her heart, I will take my child to Jesus. It may look impossible, but I will go to Jesus. Because wherever Jesus went, the Bible says, he was doing good. He was transforming lives. He was raising the dead. She said, even though maybe they will not listen to me, but I will go. You know, so there are some cases you look and you say, well, maybe it will not work for me. But even if you feel that feeling, just take it to Jesus. Because he is able to do. And it is by faith that we go to him. The Bible says, as she went to Jesus, she said, Son of David, I have come to you. Just heal my daughter. As she called, Jesus did not say anything. But you know what? He was hearing. She was calling, and she was saying her problem. Even though he did not say anything, he was hearing. She refused to be denied what belonged to her. She stayed there. As she followed, the disciples told Jesus, now, this woman is making a lot of noise. This woman, chased her away. She was hearing the negative things that they were telling Jesus about her. They were saying, let her go away. They were saying, let us chase her. But because she believed by faith that Jesus will touch her, and will transform her baby, she persisted. She refused to give up. She refused to be denied her miracle because of what she was hearing, because of the discouraging voices. She decided to persist. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There are some things that come and we feel like we want to give up. We feel like it is not happening like the way we want, you know. We have instant things. I don't know whether here they are there. You have the microwave, you have things that are instant, instant or something. So we want things to be instant. But sometimes those things don't happen instantly. So sometimes we need to persist a bit. We need to follow up. We need to come again and again. As the way my brother was saying, we usually meet here on Thursdays. We have never missed. Even if sometimes we are not very many, but we come, a quorum. You know, you persist. Even if it's a prayer meeting, you are called and you come there and you persist. Whatever you told him yesterday, you come and tell him today again. You tell him, Lord, I am back again. It is this issue. You know, sometimes we want to leave quickly and say, Pastor, it is not happening in this church. Maybe it's happening in the next church. But sometimes we need to be there and be persistent. This woman did not change her prayer. Even when they were speaking all those things, she said, Lord, help my child. Deliver my child. It didn't happen with the first day. He didn't say anything. The next time, the disciples said, chase her away. The next time, Jesus said, we are not going to give the food of the children, that is the children of Israel, to the dogs, small dogs. And she said, even the small dogs, it depends with your response. Even the small dogs, they eat the small crabs that come from the master's table. You know, she didn't give up and say, now he's insulting me and leave. No, she persisted. She said, sir, even those crabs that fall from your table, I will appreciate. If that healing of my baby is those crabs that fall, then I will appreciate. She refused to be denied. You know, sometimes we want to walk out and say, this is not the only church. This is not the only person. No. It is, what do you believe? What do you see? As you were coming with my brother, I was telling him, it is, what pictures do you hang in your mind? What do you see even as you are in this land? I was telling him where I am and where those who are here. What pictures do you put in your mind? What do you see? It is according to your faith. That is what you will receive. This woman had hanged the healing of her baby in her mind. She did not agree to give up until that healing came upon her life, her child. There were obstacles. You know, sometimes you want to go just chop and we get it. Sometimes there are obstacles. What do you do when the obstacles come? So we need to be persistent. We need to have a persistent faith. And the Bible is saying, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we need that faith that we may be able to move on with this journey. We need that faith that we may be able to believe God for the things that we are believing Him for. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, it is not good to give bread to the Gentiles because they were termed as outcasts. An outcast, they were termed as dogs. because the salvation had not come to the Gentiles yet. The healing had not come to them yet because Jesus had not died on the cross for them. And do you know one time we were outcasts ourselves, but Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. And the Bible says that I will no longer call you strangers, but now I call you friends. Because he died for us. As Gentiles, we were outcasts. Salvation did not belong to us. Healing did not belong to us. And a good thing did not belong to us. It belonged to the Israelites. But right now, because Jesus has died on the cross for us, now we are not strangers, but we are children of God. We are children of the Most High God. We are entitled for the promises that once we were seeing them from afar off, but now they have been brought to us, those promises. But it is by faith that we will receive them. It is according to what we see and what we believe. That's how we will get those things that belong to us. We saw them from afar off. We were outcasts, like the way these Gentiles were outcasts, but we were brought close when Jesus died for us on the cross. She said, oh, it is okay. If the crabs fall, then I will receive those crabs. If those small crabs are the healing of my baby, then I receive those. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you by your desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. It is according to your faith that God will answer us. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Anything we believe in by faith, it is going to come to pass. Faith is the vehicle of where we are going, of what we are believing God for. So we need to do everything by faith. As we live here, we need to confess things. We need to live here and live by faith. Because if God is the author of faith, then he is going to do it because he is seeing that faith in us. And then he is going to perform it for us by faith. Amen.
Amen.
He will answer you according to your faith. And on Sunday here I was saying, God becomes what you qualify him to become by faith. If you qualify him to be your healer, he will heal you. If you qualify him to be your provider, he will provide for you. If you qualify him to fight your battles, then he will appear and fight your battles. Like the way on Sunday we were saying that don't fight your battle. Stand still. And you will see him fight for you. Qualify him. Whatever you think you want him to do for you, just qualify him to be that. Whatever you feel or you think, qualify him by faith. Tell him, Lord, I believe and I know that you are going to do this by faith. I qualify you today. If we don't get anything else, let's get that when we qualify God in whatever situation we are, say, Lord, now you are this in this situation. He is going to appear and become that which you want him to become. Amen.
Amen.
Qualify him based on what you want him to do for you. God is going to work with our faith. Today we want to ask, what are you believing God for? What do you want him to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
Then just qualify him. And it is going to work for you. And then don't go alone. Go together with him. And when you go together with him, your journey will be sure. Even though sometimes it's going to be hard, but he is there together with you. Even though you go through many waters, they will not swallow you up. Even if you go through the fire, the fire will not burn you, because he will go together with you in the fire. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they believed God, and they said, even if he doesn't deliver us, he's still God. And they were put in the furnace. And when they looked, and it was 7 times hot, and when they looked the next day, they saw a fourth person. Why? Because he had come in the fire together with them. So even though sometimes there are some fires that come on our way and in our lives, if we qualify him, if we go together with him, he is going to be with us in that fire. Can you imagine when he is with you in the fire? That fire will not burn you. So today we just need to qualify him by faith in what we want him to do for us. As this woman, she refused to give up until she was told, I have never seen such faith. So we need to believe God until he says, in that church, I have never seen such faith. And whatever you have desired, in that home, there is such faith. They have believed me beyond. Then he will come down and he will work it for you. So as we said on Sunday, we don't have to fight our battles. The Lord wants to fight those battles for us. It is by faith that he will come and work for us. So we need to believe God. We need to trust him. We need to go according to his word. Let us be people of the word. Let us be a prayerful people. Let us be people that hear him. Because now, if you don't hear him, and you don't make him your friend, just know him more personally, then he will not come for you. But if you know him through this word, even through prayer, even by coming to serve him, when you feel like, and when you don't feel like, because sometimes we go with how we feel. Even when you don't feel like, just come. Because there is something that he has for you. Because we don't serve him just when we feel like. So even when we don't feel like, let us just come there and the Lord will refresh us. Because in him, there is a refreshment. Sometimes it's not the word of the pastor. Sometimes the Lord prompts him to call you for something, because he's the prophet of the house. The Lord has put him here for a purpose and as the prophet of the house. And sometimes God will cause him to say things that as a flock we are supposed to follow. And we should be attentive to what God is saying through him. And when we follow what God is saying through him at the end of the day, we are going to get our blessings. You know, there are some other blessings that are attached to pastor. even if you go wherever you will go, the others that are attached to him. So you should listen carefully. You should know what God is saying in his word. There's a plan. I love reading Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I have a plan to give you a future and to give you a hope. So our future is not in the things that we see, but our future is in God. And he has another plan. And unless you come to a house like this and God has put a man of God who will direct you to execute the plan of God in your life, then you will never know which way to go. And he's saying there is another plan. It is not what you are seeing in your eyes, with your eyes. There is another thing that God has planned for your life. You are here and maybe you are saying, I don't know how it will go. But God has another plan. But until you are here and follow what is going on here, and the man of God is declaring things and you follow, this is the way we should go, then that plan will not work if you're not attached to a man of God that will speak to your life and direct you into the way that you're supposed to go and to the things that you're supposed to do. So it is by faith that we receive what we receive. And a persistent faith, not just faith, just have a persistent faith. And when we have that persistent faith, a faith that does not waver, a faith that does not stand, even if there are obstacles, you are determined to move. And as you move, the Lord will come to your rescue. The Lord will meet you. The Lord will meet the desires of your heart. The Lord will answer you in the name of Jesus. So it is according to your faith that the Lord will meet you. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen, Pastor.
That is very, very powerful. Upon God, and something that came out very, very powerfully to me is about the system. And even as we continue having God, it is true that you have found out that in this generation, it's like, you know, we have adjusted, you know, even in a country like America, it has adjusted itself to the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the technological advancement, so that, you know, like in the old days, we used to do like the U.S. post office. So that was the only way of, like, for example, sending mail. You know, and the technology went ahead and advanced. That we came from sending mail. What was the next technology after sending mail? We would send
the teletyping,
the telegraph, you know.
Mm.
And we went now, you can communicate with somebody in Kenya through a texting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait a week or so to receive a text. In fact, if you receive a mail, every time I receive a mail from somebody, it's like very, very special.
Mm.
You know, because they sat down, wrote, and, you know, took the time to take it to the post office so that you could receive it. But it is not so with the church. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
And as a church, we really need to know there are some things that will never ever change as long as we're in the church. Things like patience, things like waiting upon God. And it's so amazing that the church has become, you almost cannot really tell, and I'm not talking about the Empowerment Christian Center. I'm talking about how we react to things. You know, the church has become so worldly, and almost kind of like you cannot even almost put a demarcation line to say, okay, this is I'm a Christian, and this is how I react to things. Like, for example, you know, if you tell people to come to pray you're telling them to come to pray for certain things. Like, for example, you're praying for somebody to get healed, or you're praying for the outreach missions that you have, you're praying for the missions that you have. It's very, very hard to get people to come to persist, you know, consistently, that every Wednesday they're going to be there to pray for that issue. But you see, that's what God is calling on us to do, you know. It could be maybe a sick child, it could be somebody you've been trusting God for so that he can get born again. God wants to persist. In fact, as you were speaking, I remember this story about this woman. It was a woman who went and, you know, Jesus speaking about her Christmas. This woman went and knocked on the door at night, you know, and he needed bread, and this guy, you know, he was asleep. But the lady, the Bible says, if this guy, this person continues to persist, will this person who has bread not come and open the door?
Mm-hmm.
Perchance that, you know, the disturbance is too much.
Mm.
You know, I think that is the kind of a persistence the Lord is calling on us to have as children of God, whereby we can persist. The things of God will never come in a silver platter.
Mm.
You know, you look at Jesus, even going to the cross, it was not an easy process. Up to a point in the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes and prays to the Father, Lord, this is becoming too much on him. Lord, you know, if it is possible, you know, please remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. I mean, the things of the kingdom, sometimes we tend to take the things of the kingdom as if it's just the things of the kingdom lightly. But nothing we are going to achieve, whether it is getting somebody born again, whether it is doing mission work, it calls on us to not only give ourselves financially and the time, but it calls for us to pray for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who I was talking to the other day, and I was telling them, the devil knows greatness when he sees one.
Yeah.
I had that actually from a preacher one time. And he says that the devil knows greatness when he sees one. Why? Because he used to live in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows what greatness means. The devil is able to look at us, and he is able to discern. He's able to distinguish somebody who is greater from somebody who is not. And I remember I telling you one Sunday that one time I was ministering, and I was telling you about how I watched some of the videos that YouTube videos that you watch from TV Joshua. And I saw, you know, they normally conduct deliverances, and there were some preachers that were there thinking there were some deliverances that they were doing. And it happened to me, hey, but there happened to be somebody there, and you know, that, like the way he was conducting deliverances, and he is commanding, you demon, speak! You devil, speak! And this demon from this person, before they were cast away, they would look at the person nearby, and they would look at them and say,
it is you, you're trying to take me away!
And they were laughing, and I was looking at that, and I'm like, wow!
And so, the devil knows greatness when he sees one.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you guys, there's no way where we are going to be considered great if we don't take the things of God seriously. In fact, some of the ways we can take the things of God seriously is when we perceive, when we know that he is on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really admire this woman, because she has a tenacity. She has a tenacity that is, you put yourself in the shoes of this woman. If some of you, if Jesus told you that, you know what, this was not meant for you, why are you even here?
Hmm.
You know, this bread was meant for the children of Israel. You know, some of us will say, now what do? I may just have to decide to go away. But this lady was so persistent, and I love her tenacity. Think about how it can be. If we are that tenacious about the city of Dallas, for example, you know, if we can say, you know what, everyone can come with me, or if you're so busy, say like two entities in this month, I will not miss. I will go cry out to my Lord. You know? Three Saturdays or two Thursdays in this month, I will not miss. Come what may, I'll come to Bible study. Let me tell you, if you can be that tenacious, I can almost promise you that there's going to be a blessing that will be attached to that tenacity. Because you see, there was a blessing that was attached to her tenacity.
Yeah.
If she gave up, her child probably would not have been healed. Praise the Lord. So I really love that, and it's just a good lesson for us to just adopt ourselves or to just ask the Lord, God, in this area or in another area, Lord, I need to have this bulldog mentality whereby I can go grab. I'm ready. You know, I'm not. You know, somebody was talking to us about how a bulldog is so tenacious. But when a bulldog bites on something, it's not gonna come out of it. I was watching a documentary the other day. It was actually an annual Sunday, and I really loved it. It was about this this giant, what do you call it? Is it a starfish? You know, an octopus. And I didn't know that an octopus is that strong. It was a giant octopus, and there was this giant whale. It was, you know, the way an octopus can camouflage itself, they can change color. I don't know whether it was an octopus, but it was kind of like in an air, and it went to an environment in the sea, and it adjusted its color to the environment. And so these fishes were coming, and they were just, you know, just swimming by thinking that it's a rock. And then there happened to be this, I don't know if it was a shark or a whale, you know, it was just swimming by. Man, and an octopus has many tentacles, you know, and at the end of every tentacle, it has a cup-like thing that, you know, that once it holds on there, it applies pressure on that thing. And let me tell you, when this whale came there, oh my goodness, I thought, okay, what is this octopus trying to do? Because I'm compared to the size of the whale, or this giant fish that was coming to it, it was just a small animal. But let me tell you, the commentator was saying, the power of the octopus is magnified by the amount of tentacles that hold and apply pressure on that giant fish. The fish tried to struggle, but this octopus could not let go. And eventually, it was able to tie itself. I mean, to tie the fish, and it took it to hibernation where it started. I believe that was going to be a meal for many, many days. And I look at that in our life, and I see, you know, sometimes as Christians, we just look down upon. And even actually ourselves, we look down upon ourselves. But, you know, God looks at us. You know, what God has deposited in us, it's so unique. It's so hard. Think about this. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords saying that I've given you power to step on snakes and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Think about that. Yeah, the Lord of all the earth, the God of all creation, saying that I've given you authority, you know, to step on snakes and scorpions. And sometimes we don't believe it until a situation comes and we apply ourselves and we speak things and we see things happening. That the Lord really, you know, motions to us to let us know who we are. And as I'm speaking about this, I'm remembering about Gideon, you know. Gideon is found by the angel of the Lord, you know, thrashing wheat. You remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
And when what's going on, Daddy? Yeah? The first statement that came out of the mouth of the angel to Gideon, hey, what's up, you mighty man of valor? Can you imagine if an angel of God or anybody comes in a situation whereby you don't have money, you're not able to pay your bills, and you know you lost a job, you know? Because this is exactly the same situation that Gideon actually was hiding from, that for him not to be attacked by the Midianites or whatever the enemies were coming against him. You know, and you just lost a job, and you don't even have I hope of how you're going to pay your bills and everything. You're calling your friends, nobody's picking up the phone. And here suddenly somebody comes and tells you, oh, you know, what's up, millionaire Beatrice? You think are they crazy? Are they out of their mind calling me a millionaire?
Mm.
Like, for example, Pastor Chi, you know, somebody comes and tells you, I can see you five years down the road. You'll be a millionaire.
I'll be
here. Thank you, but you believe it. That is a promise. You believe it. So, thank you. That's how you're supposed to have. You know, not looking, being myopic on the things that you're going through right now. Let me tell you guys. If I told you what I was doing about 10 years ago, I was writing a
message about, you know, what, you know, to put it on the brochure. And I thought about it. Yesterday, I came here in the church, and I'm sorry, I'm just about to conclude. I came here in the church, and there's one of the little books I think belongs to Courtney, and I was just reading that book, and it's about a celebrity teenager.
What is that name?
Zendaya.
Montana. What was that?
Zendaya.
Zendaya, something. Zendaya. I don't even know who Zendaya is, but he's a young kid. You know, he's a young kid who is, I think, in Disney, and she's young, and the way she started, it's amazing. You know, she started like singing, and before you know it, somebody's celebrity. She was singing with another celebrity, and before you know it, she was now in the media, and before you know it, she's a national celebrity. Now she's writing a book, how she started, and she's so young, she's still a teenager, and she's speaking of how things are going for her, and she is projecting, I want to be singing this, I want to get into music, because now she's even... She has this big company was going to give a label, and I said, wow, I guess this was soon. I'll be a millionaire. And then I said, oh, God, this is so nice. I mean, it's really inspired me. You know, it's really inspired when you read that story. And I'm going out. I'm going to buy some refreshments, in there, you know, to just replenish my fridge. And it was about 3 o'clock, and I said, okay, let me hear what's the news of the day. And I'm tuning to NPR, you know, National Public Radio. And it's this story about a young girl who is actually in the shelter, you know? And she is being interviewed, you know, by the lady who does, you know, the ladies who do, you know, the evening afternoon program. You know, you listen to NPR and you know that. And she says how life is so challenging. She's asking her, how have you been making the grade? She just graduated. And she says that she and her mother and her siblings live in a shelter. And now she's so worried because the shelter received a letter saying that there's not gonna be any funding. And now she was worried what was gonna happen even to her family. And I'm like, okay, now she was being interviewed. Surprisingly now, it comes to another part of the story, and she says the family came, and because she performed so well, imagine living in a shelter, she performed so well, she got a full scholarship to George Mason University. And I said, wow. And let me tell you, when I was coming, I stopped there in the car and I said, God, I felt like God was speaking to me about something. Now here I am. I'm reading about a young girl who is so proficient. She's got this, all these things going out for her. And here is another girl who is in the shelter. She doesn't even have a permanent home. Yet God has helped her so much, and she has succeeded, has done her homework. She has succeeded in qualified very well in high school, and she is in George. She has been admitted in one of the best universities in America, and she was living in a shelter. So I said, God, what are you trying to teach me? That God is able, if ever only. And she was talking about her faith, and she was talking about how she, you know, she talked about several things, you know, and I said, wow, what a paradox, you know. You look at one person who is just making it seamlessly, you know, without any struggle. He is a person who has been in a shelter, and yet God has made it for her. So I said, it doesn't matter really, to be honest with you. In fact, I remember the Ecclesiastes 9:11, which is opportunity is just...
Opportunity, chance.
It is not for the wise, it is not for the strong, and it is not
for the swift.
It is not for the swift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought about that, and I said, how about a child of God who knows God, If here we are talking about people who, of course, they never talked about their faith in God, and if God is really making them make it happen for them, how about an authentic child of God who is blood washed by, you know, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has put an authority in them? How about that child of God, if they can trust God, if they can persist in God, how much more can He do in them? And I said, God, may You help me. You know, I felt like, wow, Lord, help me. You know, what is it that I'm dreaming about right now? What is it that I need to put before You, Lord? What is it that I hold in my hands and to run with it, to run with, Lord? Because I know God can use whatever we have in our hands to bless it. Look at Moses. He had just a cane, you know, from the wilderness. Yet God used that cane to perform miracles and to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. You know, I feel like even as we persist, what do you have in your hands? Yeah, if chance and opportunity can happen to anybody who's been born of a woman, how about that person who is called a child of God? Amen? That is a big challenge for us tonight. That we need to wake up and smell the coffee, and God is just about to do great things in our lives if only we are available. The Bible says he looked to see whether there would be anybody who would stand in the gap, and there was none. The other week when we went to Evangelist where he was meeting, we found that God can even use a hidden king, Cyrus, to propagate His purposes here on earth. And you know what? I'm telling God that, God, You're not going to raise any stone to see me in my place. I'm going to sing for You. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You. You know? It's a fine. Let no stone, let no God, because God can raise a donkey. If God can cause a donkey to speak, that means He can raise some stones to sing for Him. Let no stone, let God raise no stone to sing for Him in your place. Let God raise no other person to go to the streets and tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ in your place. Amen? Let us rise up. And I ask, yes.
It was, I think, yesterday. Done pastor whoever for my kids. So I'm seated and I'm asking her, I'm like, you need to consult and see how the scholarship if they gave you anything. She picks the phone, she calls. And they said, we already sent to your award owner on your email, check your email. She opens the email. I'm there. I have to be honest, almost getting depressed because I'm looking at it. Oh, what was there alone? You know, where you get like only one client was there, two were like there's what they call subsidized loan and unsubsidized. And for the, oh yeah, she needed about like 44 for the two semesters. It's an expensive school, it's $44,000. And I looked there and it was only $15,000. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? What is going on? Now, I'm there, I talked to her. As I looked at her, my daughter was depressed. Just then, I'm like, somehow I have a feeling I don't believe what they put me. Call the school. She's like, Daddy, I'm like, call the school. You know, I've been to school today. Ask about this grant. Ask why they did not give you this grant. She kept quiet. I'm like, just go. She called this girl. She said something. It's about your grades. I'm like, my girl is not that dumb. Not too good on this, you know. I'm like, okay, call again. She said, again? I'm like, yeah, call. Ask her, tell her this. She called, and this lady said, okay, you know what I'm going to do is I'll go through and ask why they didn't give you ABCD. And I'll call you back. That was yesterday. They never called. And apparently yesterday there was with somebody. She called. And I'm like, did you call the school because this lady did not call back? Instead of calling, she went back on her email. She's looking and she found the all the grants were given back.
Amen.
While she's telling me, Daddy, I want to cry. I'm like, just thank him and cry if you want. Because all the grants they had removed, that 15,000, the grants they give, this will be not, she's not going to pay back.
Wow.
Like $25, yeah. $25,000 a day.
Yeah.
So that to make it 40.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, I just went, thank the Lord, like, you know, she preached on Sunday on how to praise the Lord. I'm like, I'll just praise him, whatever comes my way. That's what I'm going to do. And here we are, he's come through again.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And sister.
Mm.
Well, that's a good testimony. I think that's a beautiful word of strength. That's a wonderful